What's up, No Nation? This is Jesse from Plant the Spear, and I am joined by a friend of mine and one of the best follows of Florida State social media out there, Taylor from Norvell Central, as we get ready to preview early signing day coming up in just about a week, depending on whenever you're watching this. We're also going to talk about some portal moves going on with Florida State, who's in, who's out. There's some names we got to talk about, Taylor. So I appreciate you joining me, my friend. How are you doing right now?
Doing pretty well, man. We're just out here grinding in the off season. Well, getting closer to the off season. We still got a bowl game left to go, but we'll kind of see how that result goes. But super excited to be on with you again and talk Florida State football.
Exactly. And, you know, you talk about going into the off season. You know, Taylor, there's some people that have strengths and weaknesses. Some people can cook, some can't. Some can dance, some can't, even though they still try. Me, my flaw is keeping up with recruiting. It is so hard. There is so many moving pieces. Yeah. It's just a nonstop ordeal, and I have a hard time keeping up with it, man. There's so much to talk about, but I know that you have it on lock. You are the go-to for recruiting. You stay on top of everything. So I'm going to lean on you a little bit for this early signing day period, but I know one thing is for sure. I'm excited about this class. Florida State currently sits at number 3 in the 247 composite rankings. There's, you know, a lot of feeling that they could push for the number 1 class if they get some pieces to fall their way. Really, I think when you get this close to early signing day, and let's be honest, it really is just, it is signing day now. Then you have a late signing day period later on, because this is the one it seems like everybody signs for. But Florida State's pushing for that number 1 class, and it would be really awesome if they could get that. But at the same time, I think a lot of the feelings right now are, let's just keep everybody in the boat, because we know the last couple of signing days that you've had some last-minute flips and whatnot. So just give me some of your overall thoughts about this class coming in at number 3, them making a push for the number 1 class as we approach signing day just a week away from today.
Yeah, I just think Florida State's sitting in a really good spot, especially considering some of the guys that we've had, especially on the defensive backfield. I mean, you have to think with KJ Bolden and also Charles Lester. I know there has been a little bit more concern with Bolden going to Auburn, and we already know about Keldrick Falk last year and all the processes that went with that. But I just think Florida State's done a really nice job. They've set themselves up with an official visit coming up this weekend with him. Already had that in-home visit where they had basically the whole staff coming out to see him, with Norvell, Surtain, and then also with Adam Fuller as well coming on that in-home visit. I think it's very important, because Florida State's always keyed around relationships. And I think that's really been big to get this number 3 class in there. And I'm super excited to see how Florida State kind of pans out with this class so far.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you talk about Auburn, I mean, you know, I can't confirm or deny what they do over there at that school. But, you know, I mean, Hugh Freeze and Auburn and just kind of the history of the coach and that program. You know, when you talk about them maybe flipping a guy late, if it does come down to a money deal or something like that, and, you know, let's just say they're willing to grossly overpay to get a recruit.
Yeah.
One, you can't blame the recruit for taking that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's an unfortunate situation, but, you know, that's not what I want Florida State to do with this recruiting class. Like, you get the guys who want to be here, man. And if someone's going to take a bigger offer, it is what it is. You can find other guys. Again, you never know who's going to become available. I mean, we all know that Marvin Jones Jr. is in the portal now. You know, that's a guy that you felt like, we just barely missed out on to Georgia.
Yeah.
He might be yours coming up. So you just stay in that recruiting fight. You stay, you stay in contact with these kids, and you never know. But I feel good about them being able to land everybody here. Like you said, there's a late push from Auburn. Man, I think the one thing that I love most about this class is, and we'll get ready to talk about some of the names here in just a second. Mm-hmm. They have really locked down their focus on getting guys close to home. I think almost 90% of this class or higher is from Florida and Georgia. So I just think it helps when you have that regional aspect. You're close to family. They're familiar with the program, and you can build that relationship. I mean, I think that's going to play a key role in keeping these kids committed.
Yeah, and I definitely think that there's a couple of key battles you have to kind of factor into as well. Like Armando Blunt, for example, from the Miami area. The Hurricanes are not going to give up on that recruitment.
Right.
As bad as they are right now in terms of just the program perception, because, you know, they're trying to get back on track with Mario Cristobal. He is a very, very good recruiter. You can't deny that as it is. They do a very nice job recruiting over there. They're relentless recruiters. That's the name of the game down there in Miami. But problem is, you know, they're not really having results on the field right now, so they're having to translate that over to recruiting, and hopefully those good recruiting results can result in those 9, 10, 11-game win seasons and kind of go from there. But I think Blunt's going to kind of come down to the end, especially kind of looking like Reuben Bain, for example. Florida State was kind of swinging in a good direction, and then next thing you know, Miami swings in there at the last bit, pitches the hometown aspect type of recruitment there, and then you saw what happened. So Unfortunately, I think Florida State's going to have to be able to step up to the plate here. I think he's going to play more of a defensive tackle role, maybe a defensive end, a little bit more of a hybrid. I think he's built enough to play as a true freshman. I know that sounds crazy because Tim Jernigan didn't really play as a freshman either, but I definitely think that there is a possibility that he could play considering what they have lost on the defensive line and what they are losing. I think there could be a possibility that he could be a big factor in what Florida State does this season, this upcoming season.
Certainly. I think you could definitely work him in with some packages. And like you said, when you just look at from a depth standpoint, depending on who they're able to bring in. I mean, we know defensive line, once you lose a lot of these veteran guys, you know, with Fabo and Fisk and you know, hopefully Farmer stays around too. And obviously, you know, Daryl Jackson, I doubt he's going to come back. He's probably going to play in the bowl and go to the NFL. You're going to be thin at the position. So you may need some of those guys. I mean, it'd be great if he came back. You could certainly use them. You know, but you may have to play some young guys on this defensive line. And I do think that you bring up a good point, because one of the interesting things for me about what Florida State's able to do in recruiting now, you know, we saw early on in Norvell's tenure, everybody said he couldn't recruit, but there wasn't enough success on the field to sell. Well, now you have it. And we see that translate into a top three class. Meanwhile, you have Florida over here who's, you know, kind of in shambles. I know they're trying to hang on to some guys in their class as well, but you know, when you look at the results on the field, it's not been good. And then they have a top three hardest schedule next year. So, you know, I don't even know if Billy's going to be around after next year. And then you look at Miami. Miami, like you said, they've not had success on the field. They've already changed coordinators to try and fix things. Didn't really work too well. I mean, they won a couple of extra games. And I've seen some things, you know, on social media and whatnot. And again, I don't want to insinuate things that I can't, you know, put facts behind, but you may be in a situation this year with Miami where they need to win right now, and they need some bigger pieces to be able to be able to accomplish that. So you may have them step up and push some more of their chips into a certain transfer or a certain recruit that they want to land. And that's some of the things that we'll talk about later with the transfer quarterbacks that are visiting. You know, when you talk about some price tags that Miami may be willing to pay that Florida State's not, because they're in a different stage of their program right now. They need to win right now because let's face it, the new car smell has worn off a little bit down there. And if they have another season that, you know, say 7-8 win territory, people are going to probably start losing some faith in Mario Cristobal down there. So I think it's a pivotal time for Florida State to not only be able to step up above those programs in, you know, just recruiting in general, but to lock down the state and continue to be the flagship program for the state of Florida. And that will pay big dividends for recruiting going forward. Because, you know, honestly, the funny thing is too, Taylor, is that a lot of people talk about, you know, the in-school or the in-state schools. A lot of these kids leave the state and they go to places like Clemson and Alabama and Georgia. So I do think it is important now that Florida State has made it back to that national stage. Obviously, the you know, with the playoff thing, that didn't work out the way you wanted to, but you beat Clemson. So again, that should put you on more of a national prominent stage. So I think that will help in recruiting too. But yeah, man, it's a pivotal time in the state of Florida. And I feel like Florida State is in the premier position to really start locking down some things.
Yeah, I definitely think this recruiting class has done a really nice job so far. You built a foundation. Now at this point, the coaching staff is wanting to keep a couple of those guys that are kind of entering, you know, other schools' radars and getting in home visits a couple of times, like we talked about with Bolden and with Blunt and a couple other guys as well. The noise from McCoy's kind of slowed down a little bit, so we've kind of avoided that UCF, Miami type of disaster right now with them. You know, we've got guys like Jeremiah Smith that we're going after. We got LJ McCray from Florida that we're going after as well. You know, Adoka as well, the defensive end, they're kind of looking at as well. And there's a couple of guys that you kind of have to put your finger on and kind of see, okay, can we push the chips forward and see what kind of happens with that? Because right now, I mean, if you lose out on Blunt, you know, you have to find another defensive end, have to find some more defensive linemen to go with that. Right. And we really don't have the defensive tackle depth to go right now. Denaz White's another guy they're really interested in from the North Carolina area. And really, I mean, you're set at quarterback, you're set at running back, you're set at receiver. You're just pushing all your chips forward for Jeremiah Smith to see if it works out.
Right.
And, you know, tight end, you've already got a great tight end. You've already got a good offensive line class in four of those guys as well. Three defensive linemen. You know, you got your two linebackers that you wanted in this class, and I'm a big fan of Jaden Parrish as well. I think they really hit a great hit with him. Secondary's done a really nice job. We've already talked about Lester and Bolden as well. You got a guy like Jamari Howard, who I think is one of the better corners in the South Florida area, that I think kind of went under the radar, and Michigan State was able to, you know, kind of do poorly this season, and they had some turmoil with their coaching staff, and next thing you know, Florida State's able to kind of slide themselves in the door. And 2 years ago, I don't think Florida State would have been able to do that. So now you've kind of got to that point as a program where look, we're showing those on-field product, and you have a legendary defensive backs coach that has those South Florida connections. I think that's a pays a lot of dividends for that. But what I'm going to ask you is, you know, Florida State's had a couple of rough early signing periods the last couple of years. We've kind of struck out on some guys that probably we shouldn't have struck out on, and it's kind of left us in the gutter at some points. I know this staff is more so developmental teaching. They are a very good coaching staff, but in terms of recruiting, I think they need a little bit more work, and they need to have that product be at a high level to be able to sell, because I don't think they're very good at selling a vision per se, other than a couple of guys on staff. And I just want to kind of get your thoughts to see if you think Florida State is going to have that success this season in terms of getting all of the main recruits that they can get, or having that high level success to avoid that breakdown.
You know, I do. I think before, when you look at the first iteration of this, you know, with Travis Hunter and whatnot, I think you had some odd circumstances there. Obviously, you had the Deion thing, you had the Barstool documentary, the money behind the whole situation. I think that played a lot into it. You know, as mad as we were for that decision, at the end of the day, he still helped you get Azaria Thomas, who is maybe arguably as good. So I think that was a little bit weird there. And then obviously you missed out on closing on Keldrick Falk last year. That was a disappointment, because let's be honest, you really could have used him about right now. You know, I didn't see him like really pop at Auburn, but obviously he was just a true freshman, you know, and I don't know to the case why he flipped, but obviously you hear that there's some NIL talk there involved. So I just think, man, I really do think at the end of the day, this staff is very sticks to their guns about, like, they're going to do what they plan on doing. They're not just going to let some kid talk them into overpaying. I think the Battles Inn is very smart at managing their resources, and they're going to stick to their guns as far as that goes too. But I think now you have a program that has shown the ability that it compete at a high level. And that to me is going to be a big selling point going forward, because again, you talk about Florida, you don't know how stable that program is. Miami, I don't think they're going to fire Cristobal anytime soon, because they put so much into getting him.
Yeah.
But you know, 2-3 more years down the road, things aren't working out. You never know. I've heard some things about their NIL isn't really paying like they promise kids that they're going to pay. So, you know, that could be something to watch there. I just think, man, right now there's so much good going for Florida State. When you talk about you just signed Adam Fuller to an extension, you got Mike Norvell on an extension, you've got your NIL platform with more members joining in the past week, you know, per Ingram Smith, that you've ever had, ever, like 2,300 people joined in a week, and you have the $500,000 match going on right now and all this stuff. So there's just so many reasons to stay with Florida State now. Now, I will give you, you know, there are some things that need to improve in recruiting, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And this is something we're going to get into later when you talk about the defensive line as well as linebacker. It's, you know, you have a really good class with a lot of pieces that you really, really like. And this, you know, Taylor, I've heard some rumblings that like this might end up being the best DB class like ever in history. And that's going to be truly amazing at a school that, you know, tags itself DBU. So you're going to put yourself back on the map there. But it's a lot about the composition of the class as well. And it just, you want to see more of that dog type recruiter and that strong closer on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, obviously Patrick Surtain, I mean, I'm not even gonna call that a home run hire. That's a grand slam hire. Like that was the best. That's one of the best hires I can think of anybody making in a really long time. So he's been an ace recruiter for you. But again, man, we're going to talk about this later, but DJ Lundy just put his name, said that he intends to enter the portal. So you're getting really thin at linebacker, and you're not really replacing it with a whole lot. And so like, you're going to have to step up on the defensive side of the ball, but you're at least going to have to keep these guys in the class. And I feel good about it this year. I'm not overly worried. I know, like you mentioned, the KJ Bolden thing with, you know, kind of flirting with Auburn and stuff like that, but I feel pretty good about us landing everybody in this class. Is there anybody, and I'll flip it back to you on this, is there anybody that I think we should be sweating over a little bit on signing day?
I would definitely say the Blunt situation, just from him being with the area. He's already been committed to Miami once.
That's true.
Flipped over to Florida State, reclassified from 25 to 24. And I think that is somebody that you have to worry about. I wouldn't sweat as much, like you said, about the Auburn and Bolden thing. Now, like I said, nothing's set in stone, especially in recruiting. There are certain guys there, like, you know, Luke Cromenhawk and Cam Davis and guys that have already locked up their recruitment. But just overall, I think those are kind of the two guys that are you really should focus on. Otherwise, there's not really many in this class that are kind of vying for other places or kind of entertaining ideas. They're all kind of locked in at that point. I'm not ever saying locked is a relative term,
right,
because you know, today's society, you never know. But just in terms of that, I think those are the two guys you really have to watch out for.
Yeah, it's not official till it's on paper anymore, because, exactly. I mean, you never know. But I think that's a good point, too, that you make, where there's a lot of guys in this class that have stuck for a while, that have been the staples of the class when you talk about Cam Davis and Luke Kromenhawk. I mean, these are guys who are the glue of your class. They help hold it together. And I think that's going to pay a dividends going forward for this class, keeping everybody locked in, because they've been committed for a really long time. Like you said, they've already shut it down. So with that being said, let's go ahead and take a quick look at some of the names in this class. Tribe 24. We'll start with KJ Bolden, five-star DB out of Georgia. You have Armando Blunt, who you just talked about, five-star defensive lineman. He is out of Miami, Florida. So, like you said, you kind of got to worry there, just kind of being the hometown team. He was already committed to them, but, you know, again, you flipped him. So, hopefully, I mean, when you look at the defensive line, of course, they got Reuben Bain that they can point to, but you've had success with a lot of your defensive linemen, and I think that will help be a good sell there, too. Tight end Landon Thomas, you know, and look, guys, I have to use, don't shoot the messenger here. I have to use the 247 composite. Yep. That's who I like, where you get multiple ranking searches. You don't have to rely on one guy. Cause I put this out and everybody's like, well, they're a five star here, a four star there. And I'm like, you know, everybody has difference of opinions, but I can't pick and choose the highest rating, cause that wouldn't be fair. But tight end Landon Thomas out of Moultrie, Georgia, four star. Charles Lester comes in a four star DB. Luke Kromenhawk, you know, five-star on three, four-star in the composite. This is a guy that I'm really excited about. Cam Davis, Jonathan Daniels, four-star offensive tackle. Another offensive lineman, Manise Itiati. I hope I said that right.
Yeah.
Four-star from California. So you got some really good offensive linemen in this class, like you mentioned as well. Elijah Moore, wide receiver.
I will say Elijah Moore is one of my favorites in this class.
Yes. I think, man, that's the thing. Like, we talk about this, and I'll pull the slide down real quick, but we talk about this staff, and I think one of the biggest things for them is, yeah, they can go out and they can get a Keon Coleman, or they can put him on a stage and make him look like a great receiver and put him in the NFL and all that great stuff too. But they're also really good at identifying talent, and you've seen that with some of the guys that they've been able to bring in. You know, they get on, like Luke Kromenhawk, if you want a perfect example, the guy was unranked when they got on him. This is, and I'll go ahead and answer this, because it's going to be my next question to you after we talk about some recruits. Mm-hmm. But I think Kromenhawk is going to be my favorite guy in the class. He's the one guy that I'm the most excited about. And I was going to ask you who you're most excited about. Now, I love Kromenhawk because I think he's like a guy, kind of a blue collar recruit who went out and earned it. You know, Florida State got on him early. Like we said, he was unranked, a backup quarterback at the time. Climbed his way up through a strong Elite 11 performance. He actually earned his fifth star with On3 this year. I'm a 912 kid myself. I actually played against his high school in a JV game like way back in the day. You know, I probably got back pain older than Kromenhawk now, but it's like that's a guy that I'm really excited about. And I love that he's so committed and that he's been committed for so long, and he's a glue member of this class. So we'll talk about the rest of the guys in just a second. But Taylor, tell me, who is the one guy in this class that just really makes you excited?
I think Charles Lester. He's going to play both sides of the ball. If you want to talk about a Travis Hunter comparison, this kid's special. He really is. And I really think him going to Venice, I think transferring over there, I think was a huge move for him. I think that was definitely needed in terms of like his skill set, was able to utilize him more on the wide receiver side of the ball as well. I think he's going to be utilized on both sides of the ball. And he has told me that multiple times. We talk pretty often. So, I mean, this is a guy that I think Florida State's going to use in a multitude of ways, can even play on special teams a little bit as well. So I definitely think he's going to be utilized often at corner, and this is going to be a DBU type of situation where Florida State's going to lock down. I'm not going to say he's going to play, you know, 100 snaps a game, but I will say that he's going to play quite a bit for Florida State.
And I really think, man, at the end of the day, like the most exciting thing is we're talking about which, and depending on where you look, but which high four-star, five-star is our favorite. And that just tells you where Florida State's getting back to. Like you're talking about bringing in guys at a four- and five-star blue-chip players, if you may.
Yeah.
Because obviously we know there's a thing out there called the blue-chip standard where you got to be above, you know, over the last 10 years, nobody's won a national title without having over 50% blue-chip ratio. So you talk about bringing in blue-chip guys at the most important positions, quarterback. You know, you have a couple of blue-chip offensive linemen coming in that you add to a really big class from 2021 that you had a lot of blue chip guys who, and of course, some have hit the portal since then. But, you know, and then again, you're talking about a cornerback that could come in and be a lockdown corner for you. So this just, man, it makes you really excited about the future when these guys do mature and get on the field. So let's kind of round out this class here. The guys that we were talking about. So obviously you mentioned Elijah Moore is one of your favorites at wide receiver. LaWayne McCoy, also a four-star wide receiver out of Miami. Defensive lineman D.D. Holmes, four-star, big body defensive lineman that I'm excited to see in Garnet and Gold. Wide receiver B.J. Gibson, four-star out of Georgia. D.B.
You'll
Ricky,
love him on the baseball field, so I will say that.
Yeah, and I love the dual sport guys. I mean, that's the you know that's the thing talking about some of the quarterbacks coming in, like D.J. Uyunglele. He is a dual sport guy. I think he even got drafted to the MLB possibly. And you know, think about the last quarterback we had that was a good dual sport athlete. So DB Ricky Knight III out of West Palm Beach, four-star, another guy that I like. Camden Fryer, been committed for a long time, wide receiver, four-star out of Lake City. Mekhi Danzy is a guy that I'm really excited to see. I think he's a really special player as well. Jamari Howard at DB out of Miami. Kai Bates, a recent addition to the class, DB out of Orlando, Florida. Linebacker Jaden Parrish. You know, we already talked about it, man. We need linebackers, and so you're getting a good one here. Jamori Flagg, defensive lineman, three-star out of Miami, Florida. Of course, you got to have a good kicker in the class. Jake Weinberg, one of the probably going to be your most underrated guys after the tribulations. Of course, we know Fitz fixed things last year. He got in good shape, but you know, after the kicking issues, like you're excited to see him. And you know, the thing is, they don't rate kickers high, so he's only a three-star. But he's in the Coles kicking camp, he's like one of the highest-rated kickers out there. So don't let the star rating fool you. They don't rate kickers above three stars. I don't believe ever. Offensive tackle Ty Hilton, three-star, also out of Florida. Jaden Todd, another three-star offensive tackle out of Georgia. And Tamir Hickman-Collins out of my neck of the woods in Fort Mill, South Carolina, coming in as your other linebacker. So a lot of guys that I like. But, Taylor, we named a bunch of names, and I know you kind of hinted at a few guys so far. Who's the guy that no one's talking about in this class that's really going to shock some people?
I think Jamori Flagg is going to really shock some people. I definitely think that Odell really kind of honed in, and I talked to him quite a bit too. He talks about his relationship with the staff, how it was. They offered him kind of early in the process. He was able to kind of commit early as well. He went on a visit with Florida State, and of course, with him being a little bit more of at a distance, having to come up and everything to see the campus and everything, he enjoyed every bit of the campus and what it brings. He's a tremendous player, 6'3", about 300 pounds. I think he's going to be that guy that kind of fills in. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to be a bona fide like all-star, but I do think he's going to be a surefire reserve that we're going to have in the rotation at least to kind of bring that sense of competition to the other defensive tackles in that room.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more there. I think you got just you have a lot of guys at a lot of different positions that you're excited about. Some of them may not contribute early on, you know, especially when you talk about your offensive linemen. They're just going to need a little bit of time to develop. But you have some guys here, like you mentioned, with Charles Lester, with Armando Blunt, depending on, you know, because we still don't know who's leaving and who's staying yet. A lot of this stuff hasn't been decided yet, so we don't really know. But you have some guys that can contribute as young players as well. So we have said that we feel pretty good about landing everybody in the class. We don't really feel like there's too much funny business going on out there. We've talked a little bit about our favorite guys. I also want to say that I absolutely love Cam Davis as well. I don't want to go through the show without giving him a shout out. I mean, that dude is like a bowling ball with some wheels, man. I mean, he's just like, he will run you over. And I love watching him play. So there's a lot of guys to really be excited about. One of the best DB classes out there. You've got so many good receivers. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to know, you know, the memes that they put out there. We are not done yet. So like, if we're not done yet, who are you watching? Obviously, we know Jeremiah Smith is the name that everybody's talking about. That would be really to put the class over the top. I really like LJ McCray as a possible flip potential. I mean, who wants to play at Florida anyway? And then that would give you another high level defensive lineman in this class, which I think is a need for Florida State right now. We all know that because you have a lot of guys leaving. So who's one of the guys, maybe the obvious flip that you're looking for, but who's another guy that maybe is someone you think we have a really good chance at flipping, or are we just kind of locking down with the guys that we have here?
I definitely think we're just going big game hunting with those guys. In general, I think those are really the only two left. They talked about the Aaron Childs from Florida as well, one of their linebacker commits, possibly visiting. It didn't really pan out in terms of that, so they're kind of moving in a different direction there. they may come back and try to get a visit scheduled pretty soon with that. But if it doesn't happen in the next day, I don't really see it happening. It's kind of just a lost cause at that point. Maybe just a last ditch effort with that. But just overall, I think those are the two guys you kind of have to look for. And then, of course, the uncommitted defensive end from Maryland, they're kind of looking at as well. So we'll kind of see where everything pans out. But, I mean, most of the positions are done. They have, what, 22, 23 prospects at this point. I mean, they're kind of rounded out the class at that point. Now you're looking at probably 8, 9 transfers. So, I mean, the more those guys start coming out of the portal at this point and coming out from the roster, I think you're going to start seeing the scholarship opportunities kind of amp up a little bit when in terms of recruiting. So I just think Florida State's sitting in a really good spot. I think they're kind of in a good position now at this point. They don't really have many that are wanting to flip to other schools. And I think now you're kind of seeing that comfort level from the staff being able to hold on, that 12-0 record really resonating with those other recruits and just kind of getting where Florida State needs to get to in terms of like where they stand in recruiting.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with the just keep everybody in because you've addressed what you need. You've got the guys that you need. And at this point, you go, like you said, big game hunting. Yeah. If you can land them, it's amazing. That's exactly what you're hoping for. Obviously, you're going to get a game-changing receiver and a high-level defensive lineman. But if you can make the flip happen. But if you don't, you still really like this class and you really like the additions that you're putting to your roster because everybody knows now that with the portal era, Mike Norvell, they've had a lot of success in the portal that you have to almost manage this as an NFL roster at this point.
Yeah.
And you have to think of every season as like you build towards the future, but it's kind of a one-game block or a one-year block. Like you have to try and win the most you can right now. And if that means taking some transfers that can be day one starters for you, some plug and play guys. That's what you're going to look for because you're trying to win. I mean, because success on the field is going to keep selling itself and paying off on the recruiting trail. So you're number three. You have a potential. I'm sure if you get McCray and Jeremiah Smith, you're probably going to be really, really close to number one. Those are the two guys that we probably feel best that they have an opportunity for. But then, like you said, man, once some things start to shake out, and again, we don't know who's going to be entering the portal. We don't know who's going to be declaring for the draft, who decides to come back. But there's going to be some portal opportunities out here. And so I think with that being said, we kind of talked about what we feel like is going to happen on early signing day. So not a whole lot of surprises that we expect. They've been out visiting this week, you know, really putting the clamps down on the class. That was their main focus this week while they're out on the trail. So, man, I just really think that, like I said, you feel good about the guys you got. You got two guys on your radar that you want to add.
Yeah.
We talked about who we like. Is there any final thoughts before we flip over to some portal needs that we're going to address here?
I will say this. I think Florida State, if Jeremiah Smith doesn't stick with Ohio State, I definitely think he flips to Florida State. Unless Miami finds a way to get Cam Ward and then the excitement kind of runs over with that, I just don't really see a situation where Florida State – I don't think Florida State lands McCray. I honestly think he sticks and then probably enters the transfer portal next year if Napier does get fired, the season might go in a downward spiral. I think Florida State's probably only going to be able to get Denaz White, which is a 3-star defensive tackle, which I definitely think he is a good piece. I think he could be there. During his official visit interview, he said that Tennessee and Miami were the only other schools that were recruiting him, and he has not visited either school. So that kind of tells you and kind of gives you kind of a feedback that Florida State's probably in the lead at that point, even though he did not say directly that they were a leader. I definitely think Florida State sits in a pretty good spot with that. Otherwise, I think everybody's kind of cleared, and I think they understand that if they want to go after maybe another defensive end, you know, they need to kind of address that need, linebacker, of course, and some other things as well. So I think Denaz White will probably be the only guy they get just right now, unless – Smith just has a breakdown and it's all good. But his camp is really quiet in terms of that. He doesn't speak too much. I've heard from some people that he wants to stick with his Ohio State commit, even though he has not visited in quite some time. But Florida State does feel very good in terms of being able to flip him if he does decide to drop out of that situation with Ohio State.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't fault the staff. They've done everything they can. They've had him on campus a ton of times. I mean, they've really put a lot of effort into that one. So if they get the flip, it's going to be huge. If not, I don't think it's the end of the world because, you know, again, we just talked about it. You have in a year or two, all these guys could be in the portal for all we know. Yeah. So, like, you know, you have to keep holding that connection open. You have to keep that line of communication open because you just never know. But, man, it would be huge to be able to get those guys. So at the end of the day, we still like the class. I mean, you can't be mad at a number three class, whoever they add or don't add on signing day. As long as there's no surprises in the negative way, I think everybody will be happy. You know, obviously, this is going to be the best class that Florida State has had in some time. And I think this is, again, this is how you build your foundation going forward to keep continuing to compete at a championship level. Obviously, you know, we talk about the portal's fun. It's like Christmas, you know, for players, because you can literally change the trajectory of a program overnight. But you still need to build that base with high school recruits, and they have a lot of pieces in this class that are going to be huge going forward when they do, you know, get developed and get on the field. So with that being said, Taylor, let's kind of turn our focus a little bit here to some of the portal moves that's going on right now in around Florida State, because obviously we've seen some guys go out, and I was going to say on the show that you really haven't had anybody that hurts yet. Then we kind of had a name pop in the portal as we were getting ready to push record here, which I don't think he's probably officially in the portal yet. He's just has announced his intentions. But DJ Lundy announced on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that he is intending to enter the transfer portal. Of course, you know, you got guys like Malcolm Ray, who's more of a reserve defensive tackle, not someone that is irreplaceable. Obviously, we know the Pat Payton situation, entered and then came back out. So, you know, DJ Lundy was one of the names that we kind of heard when Pat Payton went in, that, you know, they kind of run together, that could have been a possibility. So it was a little bit surprising when Pat Payton came back out of the portal to see DJ Lundy go in. Obviously, AJ Duffy, your quarterback, who, you know, got beat up by Brock Glenn, a true freshman, is in the portal as well. So let's start with quarterback. And the reason I say that is because we obviously know this week into weekend, Thursday through around Saturday, I think it is Sunday, they have some big names coming on. Two of the top guys in the transfer portal at the quarterback position. And Taylor, here's the thing for me. If you know that AJ Duffy left, that leaves you with three guys on the roster. And there's nothing against Tate, because Tate, one, I like Tate. I think he's I think he has the potential to be a really good quarterback. But I also think that, you know, he can still win the job. That's what everybody loses when you talk about taking a transfer quarterback. Everybody forgets that Tate can still win the job. There's nothing, you know, just because you bring a guy in doesn't mean he's going to start. But, you know, you still, for me personally, you know, and I'll let you share your opinion on Tate, but when you see him come into the Florida game as a guy 4 years in the system, I know the Swamp was a challenging environment. He still looked a little bit lost. He still looked like he didn't quite have a grip on things. Yeah, multiple delay of game penalties and stuff like that. Again, I know, I understand it was his first start since 2020. I get all that. But I feel like at this point, if you can get yourself a day one starter to at least create the competition there, I don't think that's a bad move in the portal. And so obviously now you're going to have more spots that you have to address. But I look at it like this too, Taylor. If, say, for instance, he loses the starting job to Brock Glenn or whoever the case may be, if he hits the transfer portal, you are going to have to take someone for depth anyway, because you can't roll into the season with two guys. I think if you keep that in the back of your mind, you might as well go get one of the two hottest names in the portal while they're available, if you can make a run at one. Now, obviously, the first name is going to be Cam Ward, who comes in from Washington State. Talented guy. When you talk about him versus DJ Uiagalelei, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to call DJ you from now on for, sorry guys, you get about one per show for me trying to pronounce that. But this is a guy where I think Cam Ward is probably your more high ceiling guy, but I think DJ is probably your more high floor guy, because Cam, you know, he comes from an air raid offense, throws the ball a ton, takes a lot of sacks. And I think he's got that high ceiling. I think that's what everybody wants. The rumor is that he comes with a very high price tag too. So that may be something to look out for. I mean, again, I don't want to speculate on things, but you hear some rumblings in the $2 million area. I don't know that we're, you know, that's comes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. Miami may be willing to pay that because they need that bump right now. But when you look at DJ as well, who's also going to be on a visit this weekend too, man, I think that DJ can be a guy that you can win with. I think, you know, we were talking about this in our pre-show a little bit here, where Jordan Travis laid the blueprint for success with Mike Norvell in this offense. You went 13-0 with him at quarterback. He finished fifth in Heisman voting, even though he missed the last two and a half games of the season with an injury. And when you go back and you look at the numbers for DJ, I mean, they're almost identical to Jordan's numbers. So I feel like you're going to basically get kind of a version of Jordan that's maybe a little less accurate, but he's 3 inches taller and 40 pounds heavier. So he's more built for that running type of dual threat quarterback, not as injury prone, knock on wood, like you said, as soon as we get to Florida State. Hopefully that doesn't turn into the case. But I think personally, man, I like either one of these guys. I think you can win with both. I think taking either one of these immediately raises your floor for 2024. I think you now, again, depending on the pieces that you surround him with, I think you put yourself into that 10-win window situation with a proven guy at quarterback. And, I mean, again, like, I also tell people when they talk about DJ, because everybody thinks back to Clemson and how, you know, he had some struggles there. Look at what Mike Norvell and Tony Tokars did with Jordan Travis. If you can give him a few months, give them a few months with those guys to polish DJ's skill set up, I think this can be a guy that, you know, you can maybe can see some improvement in the turnover issues that he has. But other than that, man, I think as long as he can put up the numbers that he put up at Oregon State, you're going to be in a position to succeed. So I'm fine with taking either one. I don't know if you have a preference on either one. I like that they're getting them both in here. But yeah, man, I think quarterback is going to be one of the positions you have to look at in the portal. If you want to win at a high level, let me just say that. Take and win some games. I'm not saying he can't, but I think if you want to put yourself into that 12-team playoff conversation, I think quarterback is on the list.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely believe in Tate. I think he can be an effective quarterback. I definitely think that he could succeed at the highest level at Florida State. Not saying Heisman Trophy winner by any means, but I am saying he can be a viable starter that can be able to get you through. Think of an Everett Golson, for example. He was good enough and solid enough at Florida State to be okay and kind of get us through a tough stretch of games. He even had us at 6-0 before we lost to Georgia Tech. So, I mean, when you look at that, I mean, I think Florida State really understands they kind of need that bridge to be able to have, like you said, a Brock Glenn and also Luke Cromenhalt, who's going to be coming in for the bowl practices pretty soon to help out with that. So that's going to be huge for his development.
Right.
And when you're looking at guys like A.J. Duffy, who transferred out of the program and he's going elsewhere, and we wish him nothing but the best, of course, you look at that situation there at the quarterback position, and you just need to have viable options to help him push himself, to further himself better. Because I understand he's been a backup for three years at this point, well, technically 4 years at this point. And, you know, everybody wants to leave and go to the portal and want to leave the program. And we know the hot names in college football. You want to start. You want to be there. But, of course, Tate wanted to kind of stick it out for the program. He understands that his dad is also a high school football coach. He's been around football his whole entire life at this point. And I think he wants to and understands that this could be his opportunity if he decides to make the work and the effort. And I think that's kind of be key. But I think Florida State is testing his options, and why wouldn't you test your options at this point? I think Florida State is really trying to set the quarterback market up, set him up for success. And like you said, it could end badly. I mean, it could be where Tate just decides to kind of go the wrong way. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing you have to worry about. But I want to bring this question back to you in terms of these two quarterbacks, because I know they're coming in both this weekend, and DJ Uiagalelei is actually going to be a situation where – I think Florida State probably has the best chance to land him. I think he is more so the higher floor, like you said before. So if you get one of those guys that come in, do you think there's a possibility that you can actually keep a Trey Benson or maybe even a Keon Coleman in this offense? I know Keon's a first-round draft pick in terms of some of the mock drafts that you have. Maybe that's unrealistic, but just in terms of the offensive playmakers that you have around in there, do you think any of them kind of stay because of a quarterback being able to get acquired in this?
I think – you could, but I think the problem is you already have the one guy that I thought maybe could have, Johnny Wilson. I think he could have used another year, but I've always told people this, that you have to keep in mind the NFL doesn't draft you because of what you did in college. That helps your draft grade, but they take you off what they think you can be with development in the NFL. Look at Anthony Richardson, the number one overall pick, you know, was hit or miss at Florida. Johnny Wilson, another season in college is not going to make him any less or more 6'7" with a crazy athletic ability. So he is what he is, and he's got a couple years on tape. So, you know, he's already said that he's going to take it on down the road to the NFL. I will say this, man. I have found it strange that Keon has not come out and said,
"I agree,
I'm out yet." Like, I said this jokingly the other day when someone was asking about opt-outs. I said, technically, right now, it's only been Johnny Wilson that I've seen, other than, you know, the guys in the portal and whatnot. But at the same time, if all the guys that made a Thank You Florida State Instagram post are leaving, we're in trouble. But at the same time, I just, again, Johnny Wilson came out and said, "I'm going to the NFL. I'm not going to be in the Orange Bowl. I'm out. I'm done. Thank you for my time." It's just weird, man. Like, you know, Keon wasn't healthy at the end of the year. He got a lot of draft grades, but he didn't put up a lot of yards the last couple games. You know, I haven't seen Jaheim Bell put yet that he's for sure out of here. Like, you know,
Jared Verse.
Exactly.
Still hanging around recruiting. Like, it's very odd.
It's odd, man. I feel like, you know, again, you had some guys come back last year because of really who came back. It wasn't, you know, they knew what they wanted, but it was because of who all came back. And that's what Verse even said, where it was like, I knew all these guys were coming back. They said, like, hey, what are you going to do? And he's like, man, I want to be a part of that too. So I think if you get a guy at quarterback who you feel like is going to put you in that 12-team playoff, depending on the pieces you can get around him, I think it could sway some decisions. I think it'll also sway some decisions with who comes available in the portal because, you know, again, this is not to throw shade on Tate. It's just Tate doesn't have a lot of game film to rely on. So, like, if you're trying to bring in a Keon Coleman, again, say 2.0 out from whoever pops into the portal, the next wide receiver, you know, the high-ranked wide receiver to hit the portal, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're trying to sell him on coming to play with Tate at quarterback or DJ or Cam Ward, it's not even the same conversation. So I think that may be something where maybe you even look at taking those guys, one of those guys, whoever you can get. And I think we both probably agree that DJ is probably the most likely scenario here. Yeah. And be on the lookout, guys. I'm going to do a video in just a little bit about why I think we can win with DJ. I got a bunch of numbers I want to break down for you guys. But I think that's another reason to take that starting quarterback type of guy is you can now lure in better transfers from the transfer portal because they know who they're going to be getting at quarterback. And I want to circle back to what you said, too. The future at quarterback is going to be, as of December 20th, is going to be on your roster. When you talk about Brock Glenn and Luke Kromenhoek, that is your future. But we know Brock lost a lot of time for development this year with the injury that he had to his hand that he sustained in the Southern Miss game. It's no secret that you would like to see him get another year of development. Luke Kromenhoek is going to be a freshman. I think it's okay to take a bridge guy. I really do. And you know, I always joke about this because nobody likes anything that Willie Taggart said when he was here. But the one thing that I do like that Willie said was he always told guys, like, look, it's my job to recruit someone to take your job. It's your job not to let them take your job. And so I think, man, if you go out and get a day one starter and it scares Tate off or whatever, it is what it is, man. Like, you have to win games, and you have to put your – it's not fair to your team to not take the guy to put you in the best chance to win. So I think – yeah, man, I think you're right. Like, if you land DJ or somebody like that, I think you have a higher propensity to bring those guys back and to add in higher-level guys from the portal. So I think it's a take, man. I do think they're going to end up, it's going to be DJU more than likely just from reading the tea leaves.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think everybody wants Cam Ward. I think everybody, you know, again, I think you can win with DJ. I think you can definitely do that. But some other positions in the portal that you may need, because I think it really does come back to who you put around him, because that's really what, you know, Jordan Travis had a great 2022, but then when you look at some of the pieces that you surrounded him with in 2023, that's what helped him get to a Heisman hopeful type of season. So let's talk about a few positions that you may need to address in the portal. Obviously, we know you have Tatum Bethune's gone, Deloach is gone. Now you have Lundy entering the portal. I think linebacker is going to stand out as the position of need right now. You run a 4-2-5 defense primarily. So, you know, we're talking in pre-show. Like, unfortunately, if you had to pick a little bit of a weakness on your defense, it's probably linebacker because you can hide it a little bit better. But you also see how having good linebacker play impacted this defense this season. So I think you want to get some guys. You feel good about Omar Graham Jr. You feel good about Blake Nicholson. You don't really have anybody behind them. So I think linebacker is really a spot that you need to go out and get. I think you could add some receivers. I don't think it would hurt there as well. And then anytime you find a guy who's a star, like an impact player in the trenches, I don't care if you got 50 of them, add 51 because you can never have enough of those guys. So for me, it's going to go linebacker and trenches. And then, you know, if you find a high level wide receiver for sure, I know that's pretty much half the positions, but you know, I'm like hungry hippos. I think you just eat them all, man, as many as you can get in the boat. But give me some of your thoughts on where we need to hit the portal the hardest.
I will say this too. If you get a Trey Benson that enters the draft and then you get maybe a Toa Philly that decides, hey, I'm not really being utilized as much, maybe you might go for a running back. Cause I wouldn't feel too comfortable, and I love Cam Davis, but do you really see him as a backup running back in this situation? And then Rodney Hill is a starter, maybe, you know, Kaziah Holmes is another starter as well. Do you really feel comfortable with that? That scares me a little bit. So I would prefer if they did lose a couple of running backs there, I would prefer running backs, but Florida State does a nice job with developing running backs. David Johnson's done a really nice job there. Papuchas has got to get some defensive ends in. Of course, they're probably going to need about two, maybe three. I would feel comfortable at three. You already talked about Marvin Jones Jr., of course. Kyle Kennard from Georgia Tech is another one. Samuel Acuna is another guy as well. I think they can be able to kind of turn to. His brother does play offensive tackle at Miami. He was a very good offensive tackle that Florida State was going after in the recruiting cycle. We'll kind of see how that goes there. But, I mean, you look at the offensive linemen, there's not too many there. Carter Smith, Indiana offensive tackle that they visited. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday he came in, had an official visit. Alou Ba, maybe another guy, Florida State commit that flipped over to Georgia. We'll see how that goes. But, I mean, linebackers, Xavier Sori is like the only guy, a former five-star. But, gosh, it is like slim pickings when it comes to linebackers.
Right. You know, the funny thing is I saw where it was like a couple thousand kids had hit the portal, but it feels different this year. It feels like there's a couple of high-level guys, and then there's just a lot of, you know, Jags, just another guy. Like, there's not a lot of those big pieces. And again, this is just the first portal window. They're going to have a spring portal window. You still have the bowl games. You still have spring practice where guys figure out that they're not part of the plans. So you could have more guys enter then. I mean, keep in mind, you got Dylan Gibbons way late in the transfer window, and he ended up being a really impact player for you. So, yeah, man. And when you talk about the offensive line, I do think people have to look back to the last couple classes that you signed where you still have guys. You know, your most talented offensive linemen have never even touched the field. And we talk about Lucas Simmons and Julian Armella and guys like that. So there's guys to be excited about. You just don't have a lot of experience there. And so while they have to get on the field and get experience at some point, you know, you can't just keep pulling in guys over them. I do think that you could use a couple of guys in the trenches. Like you said, you're also going to have to be replacing a lot on the defensive line. At least we think, you know, we don't know. We're waiting to see because – It has seemed strange that not a lot of guys have just said, all right, thanks, I'm done. And I think you may have more guys playing the bowl game than I originally expected. I thought they'd be mad, and a lot of guys would just quit. You know, I don't want to be here.
You know, maybe that might come closer to bowl prep, you know, start of like Sunday. So, I mean, we could see a lot more, like you saw with DJ Lundy coming in with the news there with entering the transfer portal. It may be like a weekend thing where just people are like, okay, before we start bowl prep on Sunday – here you go. So,
and I will say that I know I read online when I was trying to look for who was going to opt out for Georgia and whatnot. Kirby Smart said he basically, after the SEC championship, they give everybody a week off, then they bring them all back in, they sit down and they have those conversations, and you're either in or you're out. So I'm sure Florida State probably operates the same way. Yeah. You know, again, they're going to have conversations with guys. If they really feel like they're part of the plan, they're going to, you know, obviously do what they can to keep them. But there's no situation where they're not going to be honest either. They're not going to lie to a guy to tell him you're going to be a starter when you're not. And they may tell him, you know, your best opportunity is somewhere that's not Florida State. So you will see some guys enter the portal. It's not all about necessarily chasing a bag or whatever, you know, you want to call it. But yeah, man, I think there is definitely some places that need to be addressed in the portal. And it has been kind of a slow portal season. You know, it hasn't really seemed to move as fast as it has in the past. So I just think right now, again, we'll stay in kind of a holding pattern as we wait for guys to declare, for guys to hit more guys to hit the portal and see. But we do know that you got some quarterbacks coming in this weekend. So, man, I'm super excited to see how that situation plays out because, you know, again, you saw how the difference in this offense was when you have a high-level quarterback. And I think anytime you have that, it just changes your trajectory of your season. And, again, who you can get in the portal. So, you know, I don't know if there's any other guys that you have on your radar that may be entering the portal that you think Florida State has a good shot at. But, again, like we said, it's still early in the portal season.
Yeah.
So, you know, any other names that come to mind before we kind of wrap the show up?
Well, they had LT Overton on an in-home visit. I wonder if they're going to actually bring him on campus. That's one that I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do. He was part of Jimbo's, like, mega recruiting class in 22. Very talented kid, but I just don't know if it's going to be kind of the right fit. You know, Mike Norvell talks about all the time about a cliche statement. They want the right fit at Florida State. And, I mean, if it's not the right fit, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, like, especially when you look at, like, the defensive line recruiting in general, like recruiting and transfer portal, like, do you really see Darrell Jackson and also Joshua Farmer being two starters at the defensive tackle position? Or do you think they probably need to get somebody else? Or are you super comfortable with that? Or, like, what do you think is going to kind of happen with that process?
I think if you can get Darrell Jackson back, I think he could be a starter for you. He was pretty effective at Miami. He had another year of development in the system, so at least he's going to come in knowing the game plan already. Mm-hmm. And Farmer had a really good year. Are they, you know, is it Braden Fisk and Fabian Lovett type of level? Nah, probably not. those guys are absolutely dominant. So maybe you can find another Braden Fisk in the portal. I think if you have to roll with those guys as your starters, I think you're probably okay with that. But then I start to worry about a little bit of the depth behind them. So I do think you got to go out and find some defensive tackles, because if you think back to 2022, when they didn't have that dominant presence in the middle, you know, the run defense suffered from that. So, you know, I think you definitely need to find some guys there. Like you said, there's just not a whole lot. I know the guy from Texas A&M was the one, the top guy that everybody's talking about. You know, and I will say something too, that maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe you can correct me on this, but it doesn't feel like there's been a lot of coaching changes this year either. Not right. like past years. Like I think you had Texas A&M and Duke, and there's really not been a whole lot of other coaching changes. So I think that that probably has a lot to do as well with the guys that are entering the portal, you know, because their situation didn't really change. So they didn't, a lot of the top guys didn't feel a need. Now, again, different guys coming to the portal all the time. Right before we jumped on, Texas quarterback Malik Murphy looks like he's intending to transfer out of Texas. So that would be a big pickup for anybody. I mean, he's a really talented player. So it could really hit at any given time. Plus, you also have these playoff teams, you know, where a lot of guys there, they're going to want to stay around to get that possibility of like a ring or something like that. And then you could see some guys from the playoff teams drop off too.
I did have a question for you too. And this just kind of came to my mind when you were talking about Murphy. So with DJ Uiagalelei, you know, you're talking about with the reports that had come out, you know, you saw Florida State and Louisville were the two teams involved. And then you saw Florida State and Mississippi State involved, you know, and Mississippi State and Louisville both went after other quarterback transfers. And it feels kind of eerie a little bit when it comes to like the interest level and like, why are teams backing away? Like, why does it just seem like these reports are coming? I know the camp is very, very quiet in terms of that, and you don't want to tip anything off. And it may just be that Florida State's kind of the leader, and then he's just kind of picking the team to kind of blow the smoke away. But do you think there's any kind of worrisome with that? Or do you think it's just more so, you know, Florida State's kind of in the driver's seat per se?
Well, I think that is the case. First off, I think Florida State is in the driver's seat, and I think that's for a few reasons. I think one, he's going to have a chance to come, because obviously let's first think back to Oregon State. You can't blame him for leaving Oregon State, because you could think, okay, well, you left Clemson, you went to a new team already, now you're already leaving again. Hey, man, he's going to be sitting there with the dust settling in the Pac-2 when his coach already hit the hit the portal too. Yeah. So, you know, he's already gone too. So he had every reason to get in the portal. And I think when you talk about Florida State, you get a conference that he's familiar with playing in. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if this is a fact or not, but you might get a little shot at your old coach as well. So I think he's interested in that. I think you have an offense where – When you look at some of the numbers, and I'm going to do an episode on this in a little bit, when you look at some of the numbers and the way he's used in the offense, it's very similar to what they did with Jordan Travis. So I think you feel like it's a good fit for both parties. So I think the interest level is there. You know, I know a lot of people I have heard, and I'm by no means a quarterback guru, but I know people talk about he's got some footwork issues. He's got a really slow windup. You know, there were some turnover issues as well. You know, I don't know if maybe some of these other programs are hearing names about who may be coming in the portal and who isn't. So maybe they want to wait for down the road. I also think it comes into the play that he is pretty much a one-year rental at this point.
Yeah.
You may have teams that are looking for guys who are multi-year players. So Florida State, I think, is okay with taking that bridge guy because you know you have the young talent on the roster. So I think really just – everything fits for them, but I do think people are a little bit worried about maybe the turnover issues and things like that. But man, I'm telling you, like when I looked at these numbers, and I looked at over 50 different metrics on DJ. And again, I think when you talk about the blueprint that's been laid for having success with this offense with a quarterback like Jordan Travis, and you got a guy who is almost like copy and pasting that production if he can do it against the ACC teams. And his numbers are relatively similar to what they were at Clemson as well as last year, that I think that the staff is confident that they can polish his skill set up enough to win with him. And I think that's pretty much what they're looking for. So I'm not really worried about the other programs backing off a little bit, because at the end of the day, man, I think – no matter who the fans and the people on social media like to go back and forth with, I know everybody wants Cam Ward. I feel like we can win with either. You got to trust the staff and you got to trust their evals. You got to trust that they know what they're doing and what they want, what each guy can do. Because again, man, like, I love Cam Ward. I think he's an amazing athlete. He's a great quarterback. He played in an air raid offense. You know, everyone's like, oh, he threw for 3,700 yards. He also threw the ball twice as much as DJ did. So it's like, you know, you've got to look at how each guy is a fit as well, which is something that you just mentioned. And Norvell can adapt his offense to different types of playmakers. So I think that is important to remember too. But I just think that when you look at DJ, you know, I don't want to speculate on NIL numbers, but say you get DJ for half of what you would pay for Cam Ward, or a third of what you would pay for Cam Ward, or whatever the case may be, knowing that you need a lot of other pieces in the portal, you know, I think it's about what it's worth too. And this sounds so weird to say in college football, you know, like you got to manage a salary cap too, because the money is not endless. And again, I just think with a guy like DJ, I think he can lift your floor enough up to where you feel like with a couple of additions in the portal, if some guys pan out, some things work out your way, you can get yourself to compete for an ACC championship. So I'm really not overly worried about it, because I trust the staff's decision either way. If they get DJ in, they feel like he's not a good fit, I don't think you're going to see him take him. But I think that this is a guy where, you know, it just kind of fits perfectly what you need. A one-year bridge guy to let your talented guys come up to run a similar type of offense and just to put things in gear with a veteran, experienced guy. I think I'm fine with either guy, but I'm not scared of taking DJ. I know some people have some, you know, they remember the bad days at Clemson, but, you know, I will tell people that to remember, DJ openly criticized Clemson's offense on the way out the door. He said that they did not use him like they were supposed to. The offense was bland and boring. Dabo agreed with him and then fired the offensive coordinator. They brought in another guy, and Cade Klubnik has had a pretty terrible year at quarterback there. So the problem was not DJ. And so, again, I think if you give him a few months with Tokars and Norvell, I think that you can definitely win with him. So, yeah, man, I'm not really scared of taking him either.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a wise investment. This is going to be a wild west in terms of just the end of recruiting, transfer portals heating up. I think it's going to be a magical offseason for Florida State coming forward. And we also got a bowl game. So
I know, man. How crazy is it, too? We were talking about this in the pre-show. Like, how wild is the portal? That you have a guy that suited up against you in orange and white, 14 months ago in Doak Campbell Stadium, now might be suiting up against orange and white in Garden Cole. Man, I don't know, dude. I never saw this coming, but it is a little bit exciting. But yeah, man, I think it is going to be an exciting next couple of months, you know, the next month or so, the next week or so, because you got, like you said, you got early signing day coming up. Yeah. You have the portal moves all going on. You have a bowl game to prepare for. And again, like we said, you know, if you have some guys decide to stick around and play in this bowl game, it could be a little more interesting than we thought. You know, I thought with both teams, I thought they'd have to end up pulling cheerleaders off the sideline because they wouldn't have enough players. But I have honestly been, again, I've been shocked that they haven't had guys opting out yet as many. But, you know, like you mentioned, it could be a situation where they just haven't got to them conversations yet. But it's going to be an interesting time coming up. I'm excited. Hopefully there's no bad surprises in a week on signing day. Hopefully only good surprises. I would love to get a nice flip maybe in this class. But as long as you lock everybody down, I'm pretty excited about signing day. I think this is going to go, you know, Tribe 24 is really a transcendent class for Florida State and for Mike Norvell and for this staff. If you can lock in that top three class, I think it shows that you can recruit. And I think it builds a talented base going forward for your program. And so that's what I'm really excited about with Tribe 24. And we know they kill it in the portal. So, again, man, I just trust this staff. I'm excited about who they get, whoever it is. I'm sure they know what they're doing, so I trust them with that. And, you know, it's Christmas time, so I love watching them go shopping because I know that they are really good at this. So it's exciting for me, man. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to get ready to wrap this up. And before we get out of here, Taylor, I'm going to let you kind of plug where everybody can find you, what you got going on right now, because I'm telling you guys, if you're not following Norvell Central, you're messing up, because he is on top of everything. He stays on top of recruiting, game coverages, you name it, he does it. So go follow him. Tell them where they can find you.
Of course, man. On Instagram, Norvell Central is where you can find me. I'm halfway to 25,000. I'm at 24 and a half right now. So I am slow but surely increasing my audience as we go. Follower accounts really don't matter to me as much. I'm just super blessed to have the opportunity to share my passion with other people in kind of this positive manner. Because like I said, there's so much out there for Florida State football, and we all just want everybody to enjoy it. It's no competition. We all just want everybody to have that sense of enjoyment with other people, because that's what it's all about. So on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, I have 8,000 followers on there. You can follow me at Central Norvell. as well. I'm on Facebook as well. I don't use it a ton. I try to get all my content on all three of those platforms. And I'm also on Shop Chat as well. I write a little bit there. We are going through a branding change right now with one of these softwares we use for editing our articles. So we are still in a changing period for that. So hopefully in the morning we'll have everything up, but I'm consistently writing on there as well. You can find us on there, and especially on Bleacher Report, I think we are featured on there as well. So just be sure to go check us out. Me and Kelvin Hunt do a really good job on there and try to do the best we can. And like I said, Jesse's done a great job with his brand in terms of just having creative inner ways to get Florida State football out there. And I'm super excited to join him every time I come on. So blessed to have him and know him as a friend and everything, and blessed for the relationships that we've had so far. Can't wait for another episode as we go through.
Yeah, man, I sure appreciate that. And again, guys, go check out what they're doing at Chop Chat, Norville Central. They are killing it over there. And again, man, I think, and we'll close on this, but I think you bring up a good point. I think, you know, no matter what that four-letter network tells you, no matter what the CFP tries to, you know, screw your season or whatever the case may be, like, man, I can't think of a more exciting time to be a Florida State Seminole and to be able to talk about this with you guys, with Taylor. I mean, again, you bring back the Battles In has had enormous numbers growth. You know, you had all the sellouts last year, the TV numbers, the success on the field. This thing is snowballing, and I'm excited to be a part of it along with you guys as well. So it's just really fun to talk about. And of course, we always try and keep things in a positive manner because that's really the only way to be. I mean, we're fans and we don't ever want to bring the program down. So, you know, I mean, you got to keep it honest. You got to be real, but you can always paint the picture in a positive light. And that's what we always try to do. So thank you so much for joining us, guys. We appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you go check out all the content over at plantthespear.com as well as Norville Central and Chop Chat. Those guys do an amazing job covering FSU over there. Kelvin, again, like you mentioned, does a great job too. Man, just a great great mind in the game of covering football as well. So appreciate you coming on tonight. And yeah, man, hopefully it's a fun time in a week, and hopefully we get some good surprises and some good gifts and nothing crazy happens. So, yeah, man. So until next time, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. And of course, go Noles.